KLC family. I pray that each of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving day. My family and I had a great one. I am so grateful for how he keeps showing himself strong, keeping us healthy, keeping us safe. Oh yes, there are times when I get discouraged, feel sad. Jesus, when is all of this going to be over? Guess what, y'all? That's when he adds seasoning into my life. He leads me to a person, a family, or a couple to give words of encouragement to. And guess what, y'all? That's what they need at that time. Well, with me, I begin to give God the praise, the negative emotion goes away, and I become so grateful again. So I look for my times when he adds seasoning into my life. So KLC family, bless y'all, take care, continue to be obedient to what we're supposed to be doing. I miss y'all, and I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Hey family, the Lathans here. Super excited to be able to share what we are thankful for on Thanksgiving, which is relationships. Our relationship with God, one another, our family, our friends, our loved ones. We're grateful for our pastor, our first lady, our Kingdom Life crew. You know, we're totally blessed by the people that God has put in our lives. And we hope we're a blessing to you guys as well. So if you guys are Lathans, what we're grateful for, it's each other and you.
Hello, KLC family. We are grateful today. I'm grateful for my life, for my health, and for my strength. I'm grateful for God providing for me in this pandemic. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for Pastor and for First Lady.
Hey, family. I'm grateful for life, health, strength, and family. I'm grateful for my church family. I'm grateful to be alive in such a crazy time. And I'm just thankful to God for continuing to be who he is and being faithful and consistent in my life.
Be blessed, family. We love you guys.
Love you.
What's going on, KLC? I hope you all had an amazing Thanksgiving. This year, I'm so thankful for so many things. For one, I have been able to work from home and spend so much time watching my children grow up in their first year of life. I've had the opportunity to spend more time with my husband, which is always amazing. And on top of that, we have been safe and sound during this unfortunate pandemic. And so I'm so looking forward to what's to come within these last few weeks of 2020, and more importantly, what is to come within 2021. So I hope you all have an amazing Sunday, and I hope you are looking forward to the word that is about to come forth. So have a good one, and God bless.
Hey, KLC. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I'm grateful to be grateful. I awakened. Is that not marvelous? And so I've been in an attitude of gratefulness. If you look all around you, you'll find and you'll see there's something to be grateful for. And so that's my address now, just living in an attitude of gratefulness.
Praise the Lord, everybody, everywhere. Welcome to Church Online right here at Kingdom Life Church. I am excited to declare the word of the Lord to you today. I pray that you had a safe, healthy, and fun Thanksgiving. And if you have recovered from all of the turkey and the yams and the mac and cheese or whatever it is that you ate, because that is what you're supposed to do during Thanksgiving, I pray that you're ready to receive the word of the Lord. I want to take you to the scriptures, Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. So get settled, get set wherever you are, in your bedroom, in your living room, your den, your man cave, your she shed, wherever you are hearing this word, get settled. because the power that permeates this atmosphere is going to meet you right where you are, right on your phone, right on your tablet, right on your TV, whatever device you're using to communicate, so I can communicate this message to you. Deuteronomy 28, we're going to go to verse 13, and I want to extract out of Deuteronomy 28, the blessing, the famous blessing chapter, I want to extract out of that some powerful principles that are going to help you understand the big picture, to see what God is doing, what he's orchestrating, and what's required of us if we're going to receive, if we're going to partake, if we're going to enter into what he promised. Deuteronomy 28, the 13th verse, and the word of the Lord says this in Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. It says, "And the Lord shall make thee the head." I want to pronounce that again. "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath." Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. "If that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." For the next few moments we have together, I want to preach to you a message called Heads or Tails, Part 2. If you joined us last week, you heard Part 1, and this is Part 2 of that message. Let's pray and let's seek the Lord for the word that he has for us today. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this opportunity in this moment to receive a word from you, to hear from you, Father God. It's an absolute privilege. We do not take it lightly that you sent your word to heal us. Let this word come forth today, Father, and bring such clarity that we are healed inside and out, that we are made whole, that nothing is missing, nothing is broken, and nothing is lacking from our lives. For the word is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Speak such a word, Father God, today, that we might be changed by your power, that we will be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Transformed by the renewing of our minds, touch our hearts so it's open to receive the word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Do all of this by your Spirit. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Deuteronomy 28 is a very powerful passage of scripture because it deals with God's children, the nation of Israel, being on the edge, on the verge, on the precipice of their breakthrough and what God promised. And Moses is used of the Lord to give a caveat to the children of Israel that if they would just listen, if they would hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to observe and to do all that he command, that he would set them on high above all nations, that all of the blessings of the Lord will come and overtake them. I know it seems peculiar to you, it might seem strange to some, that I'm talking about blessing during a time of great burdens, while people are carrying so many things, and I'm sitting here opening up this message talking about blessing. But if you know anything about the Word of God, if you know anything about Scripture, that God always blesses something, then he breaks it. And so the blessing always precedes the breaking. And I know it feels like this year that we've been broken in so many ways, but can I submit to you that it is not you and I that have been broken, but it is the systems that run our lives, govern our lives, that are now being uncovered and unsuitable and shown as broken? Because this is a time, this is a year where we sit on the precipice of change. And it is incumbent upon us that we make sure that we become master of that change and not victims of it. Things are going to change whether you like it or not. And this is what Moses was pronouncing to the children of Israel, that everything is about to change for you. And sometimes when change happens, you can lose the context of what God is doing in his covenant purpose and his intentionality. You can lose that context because of your situation in real time, your circumstances, and what you're dealing with at the moment. And you cannot pull the lens back to see God's hand. And it is no indictment on you that you can't see that. You're dealing with whatever it is you're dealing with. But sometimes it takes just a little bit of perspective and the want to see God moving and to want to know that he's already moved and the want to know that he's already done something. Before we go another step further, before we dive into this particular text, before we extract it from its surface and pull out of it some spiritual truths, I want to tell you God has already done something. And if he's never done another thing for you, if he never does another thing for you, if he never moves again, he's already done something. And because of that, you can look back over your life and view your history as proof of the goodness of God. So that as you move forward, you're no longer, you will not be suspicious of his goodness. You won't look at his goodness as suspect. And you won't look at the pronouncement of blessing of God over your life as something that does not belong to you or might not come your way because you've given in to whatever it is you're fighting and you're facing. The Bible is full of shadow and fulfillment because wherever you see the shadow, you have to know there's going to be the fulfillment of it that follows. When we read Deuteronomy 28 verse 13 and he says, and I will make you the head, we're reading the fullness of God's thought. Right there in that particular scripture, that passage, God is revealing his thought to us. My God, what a privilege to view the thought of God. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He told us that. But then in the New Testament, he wraps around and he says, but you've gained the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The shadow and fulfillment. In the Old Testament, he shows you the shadow and he says, I think on a different dimension. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He's not saying you can never have this. You can never think this way. You can never perceive this way. He's saying as is right now, you don't have it. But then when we step into the New Testament, fulfillment comes and he says, you have gained the mind of Christ. In Deuteronomy 28, 13, we're seeing God think in real time. When he says this one phrase, and I will make you the head. He's saying, it don't look like it yet, but I'm making you into something. The fullness of God's thoughts is revealed to us in Scripture. They're revealed in the new covenant. They are also concealed in the old covenant. He conceals what he wants to do in shadow in the Old Testament and then reveals it. Let it unfold throughout time until its fulfillment in the New Testament. It was Paul who was able to pen or frame this concept in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 16 and 17. He says, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or new moon or Sabbath day. The law, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. He's saying basically the quality of the shadow of what God is thinking about, the quality of what God is thinking about is harmonious throughout Scripture. He's saying that God reveals the shape of a thing. he gives you the shape of it. But it's only in the outline form. And whenever God is revealing the shape of a thing, he gives you the outline of it. You're looking for all of the material, all of the content on the inside, and it's not there yet. The full light of what God is thinking is not developed and it's obscured. And the details are not there and the color is muted. And you're trying to figure out, God, what are you putting together? What is this picture? But before God paints the picture, he puts up the frame. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He says that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But before he developed everything, he framed it out. And in other words, he protects his purpose. And oftentimes we get impatient with the process because we want to see the full picture. But first you have to understand you've already been framed. God has already put borders and boundaries around what can happen to you. This is why you ought to throw up your hands this year and say, God, thank you, because a lot of other things could have happened. Some stuff did happen, but a lot of other things could have happened. And so whenever you see the frame and the details are not there and the color is muted, you're looking for the full picture. You're looking for the fulfillment. But the fulfillment cannot come until the fullness of time. But I'm about to say a thing, and I want you to hear me. The fulfillment exists within the shadow. The shadow, which it can only form in a presence of light. You cannot have a shadow unless light is present. Did you hear what I just said? David was able to articulate it when he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Peter comes along and says that there is no shadow of turning within him. But David says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. David was saying that just the shadow of what God is going to do is enough to protect you. Oh, did you hear what I'm saying? Peter was saying that when it's fulfilled, when it's exposed, when the light comes, there is no shadow. There is no ambiguity in God. God is complex, but he is not ambiguous. He has intent, and he is totally performing something, doing something, producing something, trying to take you to a place. He is up to something, and what he's up to is to make you into something that puts you above everything else. And so when we look and view at scripture, when we see scripture, sometimes, particularly in the Old Testament, we're seeing the shadow of what God wants to do. And then the New Testament, we're seeing the fulfillment of what God wants to do. It's the big picture. It's why Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It has been written of me." See, God declares the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other like me." I am God, and I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. And so when we read Deuteronomy 28, we're reading the shadow of God's intent. We're reading the shadow, but within the shadow is the substance of what God wants to do. We don't see history that way, but that's the way God views history. When God spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." And he told him, "He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel." In other words, he's saying to him in shadow, "I already put redemption in place before the law was even given." Lord have mercy. And so when we step into the book of Exodus, I mean, in the book of Deuteronomy, we're stepping into God's thought, God's intent, what he wants to do, what he's always wanted to do, how he always wanted to take his people into the promised land. This is a gift in preview. Stay with me. This is God saying, this is what I'm about to make you into. He says, what I'm going to make you into is going to bring you above all nations. And then all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. And he says, you're going to be blessed in the city, and you're going to be blessed in the field, and you're going to be blessed in the fruit of your body and in the fruit of your ground, and then your cattle is going to be blessed, and the increase of your kind is going to be blessed, and your flocks and your sheep. And he says, you're going to be blessed in your basket and blessed in your store. And he says you're going to be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. And he says, even your enemies that rise up against you will come in one way and have to go out seven different ways than what they came in before you. He says, and all of these blessings will come upon you and on your storehouses, and everything that settle into your hand, I'll bless it. I'll bless it. I'll establish you. It's what he's telling them. He's giving them a gift in preview. He's saying, let me preview to you what I'm about to accomplish in your life. And then let me show you that it's part of an eternal purpose. It's part of what I've been wanting to do for a long time. And our view of time is inadequate to even begin to understand eternity. When we hear what God promised, we are waiting for it to show up in a time called the future. Are you feeling me? When you hear that God is promising you something, it's hard to see the gift in preview because you're waiting for it in the future. Yet, the way God views time, the way he views history, is to declare the end from the beginning. Stay with me. And so because he declares the end from the beginning, when he declares it, God says it's done. He says it's finished. He says it's already done. But we are still waiting for what's done. The reason why we're still waiting for what's done is because we cannot wrap our minds around the fact that it's already done. And the reason why we can't wrap our minds around the fact that it's already done is because of what we are not. How can it already be done when I haven't gotten it all together? How can it already be done when I'm still struggling with this over here? How can it already be done when I don't know what I'm doing? How can it already be done when I don't feel like I'm the head and I feel like I'm the tail? How can it already be done? How can it already be done when everything in my life has been devoured? How can it already be done? And God is saying, it's not done because you feel like it or you look like it. It's done, watch me now, because of my good pleasure. Oh, let me teach the thing to you. See, what God is saying to us is that he does things according to his good pleasure. It's what he desires. It's what he wills. It's what's precious to him. It's listen carefully, it's his divine pursuit. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's what he is pursuing. In other words, God reveals his plan for the future, God reveals his plan for the future by casting the shadow of its prior and current existence. In other words, it's a hint. It's a gift in preview. It's a picture that's not fully colored in, yet it bears witness that it is going to come and that it already existed in God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do you remember in Exodus 33 when Moses said, God, show me your glory? And God said, okay, let me put you into the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand, and then I'll pass by you. And then I'll take my hand away, and you'll see my backside. But my face shall not be seen. He would only reveal himself partially, because Moses wasn't inclined to know God. all that was ahead. Moses wasn't inclined to know everything that was ahead. Why? Because God's plans unfold in our lives. God revealed the shadow of what he was going to do. Let me put you in the cleft of the rock. The cleft was the shadow. Let me put you in the shadows. And today I'm talking to somebody who's sitting in the shadows. The shadows is not in the dark, all the way in the dark. It's just partially lit. And right now you're in a place that's partially lit and you're trying to see the full picture and you want to know everything that God is doing. But you ought to take a moment and thank God that he gave you the gift in preview. And while he gave you the gift in preview, he covered you with his hand. Some things you don't need to see yet. Some things you don't need to know yet. You see, God was showing Moses what he was going to do with Christ. That's why he put him in the cleft of the rock. The rock of ages, the cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. He was showing him the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world by putting him in the cleft of the rock. But his ultimate purpose, his eternal purpose, was done before the fullness of time, from the foundations of the world. Stay with me. And now you and I sit in the shadows. God, what are you doing? God, what are you up to? God, what's next? God, are we going to make it out of this? Father, is my business going to make it? Lord, are they going to do another round of PPP? Father, how are my kids going to go back to school? How am I going to continue to advance my life? How am I going to continue to make it? And I'm here to tell somebody, it's just the shadows. The fulfillment is about to come. And you got to learn how to praise God in the shadows. You got to learn how to have 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but none of it comes nigh you. Because rest assured, God is intentional. He's unswervingly intentional. He is so intentional that nothing deviates him from his intent. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It cannot return unto me void. It cannot return unto me empty. It must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing that he sent it to. And so God is being very intentional about what he's wanting to accomplish. But whatever he wants to accomplish, he gives it to you in preview. Don't let the previews. Don't let the previews make you not watch the picture. Sometimes you can watch the preview of a movie and the preview will turn you off. You say, I don't want to see that. Or sometimes you can watch the preview and you're so excited about the movie. And when you see the movie, you're upset because the preview was better than the movie. I'm here to tell you that whatever God is previewing in your life, the movie is much better. He has Israel on the edge of promise, on the edge of becoming a great nation, on the edge of coming out of Egypt. But in order for them to see the fulfillment, they had to let go of what they came out of. When God gives you the gift in preview, he gives you the gift in preview so that you can release all of the pain that preceded the preview. Everything that you went through, everything that you faced, everything that you endured, can you let it go? Do you remember? It took a long time for Israel to get here, 40 years of wandering in the desert. Because when God brought them to the edge of promise 40 years before this, and they saw that the land was flowing with milk and honey, and they saw that was grapes big enough for two men to carry, they also saw the giants, because fear will provide enough evidence like faith does. Fear always has the same amount of evidence that faith does. And the report came back that we are as grasshoppers in their sight. We see ourselves as grasshoppers in the sight of the giants that are in the land. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's evidence that it's a good place you're taking us to. But there are problems and there are predicaments and there are circumstances. And we don't believe that we're big enough for them. They hadn't let go of what they went through. What's peculiar to me is they're giving the report to Moses. The 12 spies are giving their report to Moses, and only two out of the 12 have a good report about what they can do and what they can accomplish. Moses is silent. He doesn't say anything. What if Moses would have said, "We're going after, we're going for"? But he was silent. Because there are moments in our life when God gives us the gift in preview. But there's so much pain that we've never released. That we hold on to it for so long. Because instead of letting the pain go through us, we decided to go through it. And we carried it for so long that now it is the obstacle in the way of what God promised. They can't let it go. And so they lingered where God had left. And they stayed wandering in the wilderness, longing to return to Egypt, and murmuring and complaining and bickering. We can't afford to be like the Israelites right now. We're not going back to normal. Normal is over. There is no more normal. There's no more Egypt to go back to. Because the chariots that Pharaoh had was swallowed up in the Red Sea. God made sure of that. And you couldn't find your way back if you tried. Forward is where you need to be looking. Forward is where you need to go. Forward is where you need to be pressing. That's why God gave you the gift in preview. And you can't get caught up in who you are not yet and what you don't have. He said, "I will make you the head. I will make you the head." And so the way I'll show you I'll make you the head is because my intentions will unfold in your wilderness. Whenever God wants to get something done, he'll have his intent unfold in your wilderness. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? Even when you're trying your very best to go back, even when you're trying your very best to give up, even when things are devouring your life, your wilderness, your dry place, your place of uncertainty, the place where you're scared, and you're just trying to hold on to what you had, God's intention is still unfolding in the wilderness. Do you not remember that Jesus, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, was led to the wilderness by the Spirit? Why? Because God's intent unfolds in the wilderness. And when he got there, he said, "It is written," when the enemy tried to test him, when the enemy tried to try him, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The way you're going to get through your wilderness is to live by the word that proceed out of the mouth of God. That when he says every word, that means not only a word spoken, but that means something that has been purposed, something that has been appointed. He's saying every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God has been appointed, has been purposed for my life. That's what God is saying. God's purposes for the welfare of his children are promoted to this place, to this end. It may appear to us that he has a contrary tendency, but I'm telling you, his word cannot fail. His word cannot fail. Jesus knew it. And that's why he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Do you hear what I'm saying? And so God's intention unfolds in our wildernesses. His intentions are precise. So precise that we cannot presume. Lord, have mercy. We cannot presume For 1 second, for 1 moment, for 1 minute, we cannot assume that what God has for us is interchangeable for somebody else. Truly, what God has for you is for you. You ain't got to chase it. It's chasing you. I hasten after my word to perform it. You ain't got to look for it. It's looking for you. He sent his word to heal them. It is not interchangeable. Your destiny cannot be retrofitted down into somebody else. It is absolutely yours. It absolutely belongs to you. And God is going to make sure you have it because he put all the fullness of it in Christ Jesus. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 4. He said, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the full measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The fullness that he's talking about. The fullness that Paul is declaring in Ephesians 4 is expressed by two forms of the same Greek root word. The verb plero, P-L-E-R-O-O, translated fill in verse 10, and fullness in verse 13. Fill and fullness. Both forms describe a state or condition that is complete. A condition without flaw, lack, or discrepancy. What God is about to do in your life will not have any discrepancy. It is going to be complete. It is going to be full. It is going to be total. It is not going to be diluted. It is not going to be undivided. It is going to be abundantly supplied and abundantly provided for. Can I talk to you? Can I prophesy to you? It's going to be finished. It's going to be concluded. It's going to be ended. It is going to have an exclamation point next to it. It is not going to be modified in any way, but is going to show up the way God intended. I will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And God brought me here today to tell somebody, you are not going to succumb to your circumstances. You are not going to be up under your circumstances. Your circumstances are going to be up under you. I will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. God is about to make you the head. And when he makes you the head, he's not saying, I'm just going to put you on top. You don't hear what I'm saying. He's saying, I'm going to make you the head. Oh, Lord have mercy. My thoughts, the way I think about you, what I've been trying to produce in your life, I'm going to make you the head. Oh God, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to make you what I've been thinking about. Oh God, I'm about to run. I'm trying to be still. I'm trying not to get from behind this desk. But God is saying, I'm going to make you what I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about making you into something great. I've been thinking about making you into something special. I've been thinking about making you into something powerful. I'm going to make you what I'm thinking about. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. But it requires that you listen to me. It requires that you listen to me. It requires that you listen to me. You have to listen to me, because there's some things that are going to try to pull you back. Your traditions, your pain, your wanting to be a spectator and sit there and watch. Faith without works is dead. You'll want to be the victim. To deny the fact that God has given you something. have to listen. Because if you don't listen, the lure of Egypt would always hold you and keep you stuck on the edge of what God promised. He'll view your life as a coin toss, as if God flipped a coin to either bless you or to break you. God will never break you without blessing 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 you. You're going to be blessed this year. Oh, I know it's November, and I know you got a month left, but you're going to be blessed this year because you already are. And the blessings of the Lord shall overtake you. And you're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field and blessed when you come and blessed when you go and blessed in your storehouse and blessed in your basket and blessed in the fruit of your body. Everything you put your hands to is going to be blessed, and he will make you the head and not the tail. He's going to make you what he's been thinking about. But you got to listen. You got to listen and not allow. Everything you've been through and all your hardship and all your difficulty and everything that transpired make you miss this moment for God to make you what he's been thinking about. God is about to make you what he's been thinking about. And when it happens, when it takes place, you're going to find yourself above. Joseph was in the prison. And all of a sudden, had a ring placed on his finger. And now is second in command of Pharaoh. Mordecai and his entire family was about to be taken out by the plot of Haman. But the ring that Haman wore was reclaimed by the king. And the king put the ring on Mordecai. And Mordecai began to rule along with his cousin Esther. God is about to make you the head. And every plot and plan and scheme that the enemy had to take you out, it's not going to work. Because God is about to make you the head. God is about to make you the head. The enemy thought he had our Savior, and if he knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified our Lord. And he thought it was done when Jesus gave up the ghost. But God is about to make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He's in the business of making you into what he's been thinking about. And God's been thinking about you a very long time. And so if you got to think that your life is a toss-up, if you got to think that it's going to be heads or tails, you better count on heads. You better count on heads, because God is about to make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You're about to be blessed like you have never seen before. And you got to get your mind and your heart ready to let go of everything that you've gone through, everything that has happened. That's what the widow did when she gave her mites. You got to let it go. Tell fear where it belongs so God can make you the head. Because the only way that you don't become the head if you stay in your own. The only way you don't become the head if you stay in your own. Let God make you the head. I want to pray for your head right now. I want to pray for your mind. I want to pray for your heart. Because prophetically speaking, you are standing on the edge, on the verge, on the precipice of what God has promised. And I don't want you paralyzed by your wounds. I don't want you paralyzed by everything that you've had to endure, because it's been a hard road and it's been a long road. And I want you to see that you've gained the mind of Christ. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to take the form of a man. Whatever God is trying to make you into, don't fight it. Don't think think he's trying to rob you. Don't think he's trying to steal from you. Don't fight it. Let him reform you. Let him reshape you. Let him mold you. Let him make you into something that you never thought you could be. I want to pray for your mind because that's where the fight is. That's the stronghold that won't let go. That's the thing that keeps you on this side of promise. And it's time to let it go. There's no Egypt to go back to. Forward is your mindset now. I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I pray that the mind of Christ be in you like never before. That you can lay down what you need to lay down and pick up what you need to pick up. I pray that you change your relationship with difficulty. That just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's not destined. That you believe that God has brought you to the precipice of promise, gave you a preview of that gift. And now your job is to lay down all of your pain, every burden. Cast your care upon him, for he's cared for you. To use Eugene Peterson's words in the Message Bible, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's no Egypt to go back to. There's nothing to go back to. Normal is synonymous with mediocrity. You're not going back. God is about to make you the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. If you would listen to him. Listen to him more than you listen to the horrible things that happen. Listen to him more than you listen to the pundits and the news feeds and the conspiracy theories. Listen to him more than you listen to everything else. And watch him make you the head and not the tail. He's about to make you what he's been thinking about. And he has been thinking about you for a long time. You're going to be on top. It's not going to be on top of you. You're going to be on top because your circumstances are not going to be on top of you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I pray this word encouraged you. I pray it blessed your heart. I pray it gave you some insight onto what God was thinking about. Who could know the mind of God? God is revealing his thoughts to us in shadow and fulfillment. And even though the shadow is not colored in, when the time of fulfillment comes, he'll put in all the color. He'll pull in all the details. And when he does, you are going to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I pray this word bless you and encourage you. Would you be a blessing to us? Would you consider sowing and being a faithful giver into this ministry? If this teaching, if these teachings, if this preaching has been a blessing to you, it would be a blessing if you would bless us with your financial giving. If you're giving today, I want you to text your gift. You can take out your phone right now and text Give KLC to 73256. You can download our app on Google or iTunes, the Kingdom Life Church, or you can go to our website and click the giving icon at www.thekingdomlife.com, and you can give on that platform. However you choose to do it as unto the Lord. And I pray that God strengthens you and keep you. I pray that God be gracious unto you and give you peace, that his face will shine upon you. I pray that he surrounds you with his favor like a shield, that his angels encamp themselves around about you, and that his blood cover you from now unto eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.